We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
On this day, last year, March 27th, there was a mass shooting at a Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee, resulting in the deaths of three children and three adults. The shooter was a former student who also happened to be transgender. How are the media covering not only the original crime, the ongoing investigation, and the one-year anniversary? What are they leaving out? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about media coverage of this anniversary. He is Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. And for two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
March 27th marks the one-year anniversary of the Covenant School shooting in Nashville. What kind of media coverage is it getting in your estimation?
Well, frankly, I think it's quite bizarre. I've looked primarily at the Axios site that is Nashville-specific, and I've looked at the coverage in the Nashville Tennessean, and then I did a few other searches. And what I think is fascinating is to try to analyze what the press believes the story is. In other words, what is this anniversary about? So I think listeners could think about this in terms of the classic journalism: who, what, when, where, why, and how. And if it's the anniversary of the shooting, it's very interesting to note that everyone agrees that the what in this story is not the shooting, it's the Tennessee legislature's failure to pass gun control. In fact, in most of the stories, I can't find any story that features the name of the shooter or any information about the shooter at all. The top of the story at Axios is probably about as typical as you could get. March 27, 2023 began as a beautiful day. Children at the Covenant School bounded through the playground. Surveillance video shows them happily bobbing up and down on the swing that morning. Moments later, violence shattered their joy as a former student, armed with multiple firearms, carved a path of destruction through the little school on the hill. And then it goes on into story after story. And I want to stress this for listeners. Many of the stories that are being featured here in the Nashville Tennessean are completely valid. It is valid to ask how the school community is doing. It's valid to discuss their decision after a year meeting in another location to go through the pain of returning to that building where the shooting occurred. It's even valid to discuss the political warfare in the state of Tennessee over the issue of gun control. All of those stories is valid. What's fascinating is that what this story is not about is the what of the shooting itself, what authorities know about the shooting, what has happened to the investigation that they say is ongoing. We don't even know what that investigation is about. The authorities say the seriousness of the investigation means they can't release the stacks of documents that the shooter, Audrey Hale, produced, her personal diaries, her manifesto about why she did the shooting, all of her planning documents for the shooting. All of that apparently has nothing to do with the one-year anniversary of this case. And I would say that at the very least, people deserve some sort of update on the status of the investigation that is preventing the release of all of the documents related to this event. So the who, what, when, where, why, and how, the why in this story from the viewpoint of the press, this event occurred because of Tennessee's lack of adequate gun control laws, even though I haven't really heard that raised as an issue in the individual purchases by this particular shooter. And, of course, we then get into the political debates themselves. I mean, are much stricter gun laws having a tremendous effect on shootings in Chicago, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, etc.? But the minute we get into that conversation, we are moving the subject of the story from the Covenant shooting itself to a political debate about gun control. It's extremely clear that the press is not very interested in the Covenant shooting. We've got a brief note here about Covenant preparing to ship back. I'm still looking at the Axios. We've got a human chain of people who are concerned that are all getting together to show support for the school and gun control reform. More than just that day, it talks about how the people who were affected by the shooting is dealing with their grief, how they're working together. I want to stress that that's a totally valid story. Some of the reactions of people whose children were involved, and that's it. The Axios coverage includes nothing on the status of the investigation of the shooting itself. And the Nashville, Tennessean story, the actual local paper, Nashville Covenant School shooting, student staff to mark anniversary with private event. Here's the opening of that story. It's been a year since three students and three staff members, 9-year-olds Evelyn Dykehouse, William Kenny, and Haley Shrugs, headmaster Catherine Kuntz, custodian Mike Hill, and substitute teacher Cynthia Peak at this Covenant School were gunned down in a mass shooting. No mention of shooter. There have been vigils, rallies, and cries for stricter gun control. Two legislators were expelled, and we're off into the political story again. There's a remembrance event coverage. There's a prayer vigil at Woodmont Christian. Flags in Tennessee are at half staff. Our movement will never forget. That's about gun control. Student activists demand change on Covenant's shooting anniversary. Students from across Tennessee have a constant presence at the State House, caught rallying for stricter gun controls. And that's pretty much the entire Tennessean coverage. I did independent searches both of the Tennessean site and using Google News to see if I had missed anything else, and discovered a really interesting story in a Nashville area outlet, Channel 10 News. And that is that 6 days ago, I'm going to read the top of this report, a federal judge in Nashville ordered the Federal Bureau of Investigation to hand over documents to her for a private review of an ongoing Freedom of Information Act case that will decide if the public will see documents related to the Covenant School shooter's motives. So a judge has said, I need to evaluate these documents myself to see if the FBI is valid. Notice it's the FBI, not local police, whether the FBI is valid in withholding the documents. Now, the minute I found that story, I came across that and only one other, no national coverage of this. That strikes me as a fairly important news hook related to the anniversary because of all of the people across the country who have filed Freedom of Information Acts trying to get normal access to the documents from the investigation. So I thought that was another case of something being very strange that isn't mentioned at all. So that's a long summary. But the key here is, what is the story about? And the stories are not about the Covenant shooting or its aftermath, other than valid points about grief and remembrance services, etc. No one's interested in the shooting. They're interested in gun control.
In kind of the classical, perhaps now non-existent, liberal newsroom, the endeavor, at least me, non-journalist observation, seemed to be to get as much information as possible in a story like this, maybe on a one-year anniversary. You want to review the whole thing, and then you want to cover all those angles that you say the press seems so disinterested in. How do you explain the disinterest?
Well, I think it's pretty clear at this point that the disinterest is because no one wants to talk about the health issues and the mental health issues in the life of shooter Audrey Hale, who had already begun transition into her status as a trans male. And so I think any relationship in this case between the shooter's state of mind and what her diagnosed health issues were, mental health issues were. And here's the big question, which you and I discussed in a podcast for Get Religion quite some time ago. It's clear that no one's interested in what medications she was on, even though there are a lot of questions that could be raised about the impact. For example, had she already begun testosterone shots as a part of her transition to be a trans male? Because the first major side effect of testosterone for a female attempting to transition to being a male is mood swings, aggression, anger, and potential violence. That seems like a relevant point. We also don't know what her pre-existing mental health conditions were, because the press is very uninterested in covering any links between pre-existing mental health issues and whether a person wants to transition to another gender, whether their gender dysphoria might be linked to being autistic or having high anxiety levels or medications for depression. A high percentage of people who are in transition are autistic. We have all kinds of things, but no one's interested, once again, in the details of the shooting. And I can understand if journalists want to say, okay, well, all of that is under investigation, so to some degree, we shouldn't press on that, even though that you know in so many other mass shootings, the press has worked as hard as possible to obtain valid information that the public has a right to know that might tell them why this tragedy occurred. And I believe the Tennessean is one of the organizations that has filed Freedom of Information Act. So I want listeners to understand, I'm not just saying that the stories are avoiding details about the shooter and her mental health or her whatever drugs might have been in her system that might have affected this act. The press is also not interested in the status of the ongoing investigations, which the judge and the FBI are using as reasons for not releasing the manifesto and all of the other documents related to the shooter's motives, planning. When this event happened, the police, at one of the very first press conferences, let me remind listeners of this, immediately said this was a targeted event. It is our understanding that this location was chosen for a reason. The shooter had previously attended the school and apparently had told some people she was forced to attend the school and that there were issues with her gender identification as a lesbian with the school and her family. All those issues about the investigation are not being covered. And it seems to me that the public might want an update on the status of those investigations at the national and hopefully still at the local level on the one-year anniversary.
This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're discussing media coverage of the one-year anniversary of a mass murder at a Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Thanks to Kurt and Dawn in Missouri, Brandon in Minnesota, and William in Ohio for registering in the last 24 hours for the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. You can meet and hear journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, Aaron Wren of the American Conservative, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Has American Christianity Failed? The early bird registration fee is $140 and includes three meals. Affordable on-campus dorm options are available. Learn more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. Making the Case, July 12th and 13th in River Forest, Illinois. When we come back, we'll talk about the narrative.
So if you think that, you know, you still live in a country where there's going to be some respect for your beliefs, you know, you could end up, you know, on the wrong end of a criminal prosecution.
Aaron Wren of the American Conservative talking about his presentation at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And so that might be, of course, unfair or in many ways, but it's also reality. If you don't understand the changes that have happened in the world, then you're not going to be able to make sense of what you see around you. And again, you might actually disadvantage yourself by taking actions that 20, 30 years ago would have been no big deal, but today might destroy your life.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wren making the case for Christianity in a negative world at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find additional information, and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
America's tradition of liberty depends on having colleges and universities that equip young people for the responsibilities of freedom. At Concordia University Chicago, freedom is a pillar of our education. We prepare our students to live as free, self-governing citizens. I'm Dr. Rachel Ferguson, Director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia Chicago. I invite you to visit us. Discover what it means for freedom to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of an order by a federal judge for the FBI to hand over a trans school shooter's manifesto. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow on communications and culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media, and he's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. Terry, we often hear about the media's narrative. What is the narrative that these missing details in the media coverage don't fit?
Well, the keys here is they're not really interested in anything that might have shown hostility to religious faith or to a church or to that school because of differences on religious beliefs and doctrines. That's not of interest at all. It also doesn't fit the narrative to explain or explore whether Audrey Hale's pre-existing mental health issues had A, anything to do with her desire to transition to another gender, rapid onset gender dysphoria, or B, whether or not drugs and other things related to her gender transition might have played a role in her anger, aggression, and wanting to take this out on the school. Once again, we seemed we knew more about the shooting in the first day or two after it than we do now. I mean, there was talk about whether or not her plans, which police had seen, whether her plans for the event might have included other targets, and if so, what were those targets? I believe her mother worked at another Christian school, and there was a possibility that that school was going to be targeted as well. And another subject that's not being discussed now is Covenant School itself hasn't been anxious to see the documents released. And I get emails about that all the time. Whenever I talk about the Covenant shooting, people always write and say, well, Mattingly, why aren't you interested in why Audrey Hale might have been angry with the school? Well, actually, I am interested in that. And if that is in the documents and in the manifesto, that's a part of the why, who, what, when, where, why, and how of the story. So, once again, the mystery is why, if the ongoing investigation is the reason we don't have the manifesto, the diaries, and the stacks of documents in this case, okay, of all these valid stories, why not a story that gives an update on that crucial legal aspect of this crime?
What grade would you give? Let's start with the Tennessean. Closest to this tragedy as local news, what grade would you give their coverage?
Well, once again, it depends on how you're grading the different subjects involved in this. They're all over the memorial services. That's valid. You can give them an A for that. They're all over the political battles related to gun control. That is definitely a subject linked to this anniversary. You can give them an A for that. But I feel like it was when I was all those years in a journalism class, paper that the student never turned in. So what we're talking about in this case is aspects of this tragedy and this crime that are completely missing in action. So the most merciful thing you can do is grade the coverage as incomplete. And I have done that on many a student's paper. I write a big I on the top of the paper, I circle it in red ink, and I hand it back to them and said, I'm sorry, this story does not contain most of the valid information or a lot of the valid information that readers are going to need to know. It's incomplete. Please go complete this story for me. However, I can't do that with the staff of Axios, and I can't do that with whoever was assigned to that part of the story at the Nashville Tennessean. You see, it's the editors who are in charge of this coverage. There may be reporters in that newsroom who are actively covering the investigation, actively covering the status of their newsroom's FOIA attempts, for example. The question is, do the editors think that's a story that readers need to continue to know about? And it's very strange if you're going to answer no. I mean, so what we have here is valid coverage of a lot of different subjects, but it just seems like no one in charge of the coverage for the anniversary of this tragedy at Covenant School is interested in the crime itself, interested in the motives of the shooter, and interested in what I consider some very valid mental health issues related to the shooting, that you could link that to our nation's mental health crises on a lot of different levels. Why aren't those subjects a part of the anniversary coverage, as well as all this other valid stuff?
Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow on Communications and Culture at St. Constantine College in Houston, Texas. He writes Rational Sheep, a Substack newsletter for faith and mass media. He's author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate, and for two decades he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
Monday, Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Handel's Messiah on the Passion of Christ with Dr. Joseph Hurl of Concordia University, Nebraska, and we'll talk with Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary about apparent contradictions in the events of Holy Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.